Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister. Females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Well, hallelujah, greetings. I have the wrong link, and that is why you're not looking at my face. But,
well, we'll see if we can send you another link and so that people can see your beautiful face. This is Wisdom with Mama D, and we are live with Mama D, our fourth Saturday host on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we definitely want to make sure you and your guests have the right link, because we'd like to see their faces as well as we talk about this very interesting topic today. So, Mama D, as we work with sending you that link again, maybe you can tell us a bit about today's topic of question.
Yes. Well, first of all, we're going to have three men. I don't think I've ever had a program in which we have had three men. But we have Mr. Wallace Redd. He is the host for the Love Power Hour with one of his panelists is Judge Joe Brown. Many of you might remember him. And then we have the host of Focus, and that is Robert McKay. He is a WVON host for Focus that comes on every Sunday. And we have Chairman Fred, and he is, of course, the son of Fred Hampton Sr., and we have him scheduled to be our guest. But our first guest that's scheduled for the 12:30 to 1 p.m. Slot is Robert McKay. Now, I want everyone to know about our title. Well, first of all, it is such a special day. Negro black, not a people of color, not a black and brown, not an immigrant. She's a Negro black. She's a Negro black. She's a Negro black. Hey, had to get that out. Supreme Court judge, of course. Today's topic before President Biden made his selection was ranking President Barack Obama from the greatest to the worst president. I think I'm up and running, am I?
Yeah.
I just need my screen a little bit bigger.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds great.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Now what I need you to do, I need you to hang up your phone.
Well, let me take your phone off.
Yes.
Okay. So, but anyway, ranking President Barack Obama from the greatest to the worst U.S. president. Now, we're not comparing him with any other president. Mm. We're just ranking him somewhere from a lot of people. They say, well, I think he's the greatest president we've ever had. I've heard some say he's the worst. Maybe you fit somewhere in the middle. But I misplaced my notes around here because I wanted to go back to that day, November 4th, 2008, when he became president-elect. And we had high hopes. We had high apple pie in the sky. Oh. Anyhow.
Yes, we did.
And so when he took the oath of office, he swore on two Bible books. No president had ever done that before.
Mm.
The president of Abraham Lincoln, and also the president of
you mean the Bible?
The Bible that belonged
to President Abraham Lincoln, and the Bible that belonged to Martin Luther King Jr. Was it?
Yes.
I definitely remember that one.
The only reason I bring that up is because I'm going to be talking a little bit about his policy, and that Bible book had the Ten Commandments in it, and the first commandment to come with a promise, blessed to honor your mother and your father, that your days might be long on the land that the president has given you. Oh, no, I might have that wrong. The land that governor has given you. Maybe it's still wrong. The land that the mayor has given you. I know I got it right this time. Blessed are you on the land that your alderman has given you. I don't think any of that is correct. But that was a commandment that came with a promise. Honor parents. And specifically, it didn't say honor parents. It says honor mother and father. Oh. And that goes right back to a lot of mis-biblical education that the Female Solutions on Blog Talk Radio have been talking about for several years, because we have got to get the language straight, as Reverend Dr. Prophet King said. See, I got my ancestors with me. My ancestors with me, especially one of these ancestors over here, Fannie Lou Hamer's over here. And here we have the ancestors that came in, and the ones before that, that was the kings and queens. Not every single person was a king or a queen. We really need to get that fixed.
Everybody was not.
right. You have one king, one queen, and then you have many subjects.
Right.
We just under the impression that every single one was a king or a queen.
It didn't go like that.
But anyway, that's important that it says mother and father. And if we go back to the biblical history, I always like to say that the Black History Bible book, whose hero is a woolly-haired man with brass-colored feet to match his brass or bronze-colored face. If male and female created he them, and he blessed them, meaning he blessed the male and the female, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply, because you need these opposite sex for that process to go on, and he gave them dominion over the earth. And he also, as part of when the punishment came up on down the line, you're going to have babies, sex education comes up for the first time, because before then there hadn't been any knowing, any carnal knowledge, knowing. He knew her and she conceived. Not they had intercourse, not that they had sex, but knew her. That carnal knowledge of each other. So that sex education hadn't come up. And when it did, it said, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you, which also is part of the curse. Where the spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. No one is supposed to be ruling over anybody.
Ooh,
so, that's another subject. But getting back to ranking the president, he took, earlier I was talking about the Supreme Court nominee. Just imagine what kind of event this would be if Barack Obama, who appointed three Supreme Court justices, he appointed another white woman. We already had white women on the Supreme Court. Then he nominated a Latino woman. Then he nominated a white man.
Yeah.
And when he came to Chicago and he was asked, why didn't you nominate a black woman? His response was, and I didn't believe this, when I heard Michael Eric Dyson speaking from the Rainbow Bush stage, selling his book, he said, as Barack Obama said, because, quote, I could not find a black lesbian from Skokie. I really didn't believe he said that, so I looked it up, and that's those were his exact words. That's the reason he didn't do it. But just to think, when he was asked by Tom Turner, how does it feel to be the first black president? This constitutional scholar straightened him out. He said, I am not the first black president. I am the first Kenyan American
president. Mm. And he said, black has no standing in law.
Ooh.
You should get that.
You have to have a country. Otherwise, yes, right. Well, Mama D, you have a couple of comments here from our Facebook family. Dr. Debbie Green says, good afternoon, Queens. And she says, yes, we did. We expected so much of him. Yes. So some people may have been disappointed. Some people may have felt like he fulfilled
right.
the promise.
But when he took that oath of office, we gave him 96% of our votes. And the first time, and 94% the second time, and who made history for the first time by outvoting white people that second time around. But giving him 96% of our vote, that helped him to take that office in charge of the Senate and in charge of the Congress. And he had his little trifecta.
Yes. Well, Mama, you've got one of your guests has arrived backstage, Robert McKay of WZON.
Well, that's wonderful because I always take the first half hour, and I can't see my clock, and that's really
we'll be coming up to a break. We'll be coming up to a break pretty
after
soon.
After the 12:30 break, we'll have him come up.
Yeah, we have about 2 more minutes for a break. Yeah.
I'm going to have to, when we have a break, I'm going to have to get the clock so I can look at it. I like to keep in touch with the commercials and all of that. But anyway, this is, he had all of this going for him when he took office. Now, according to the 2010 census, he took office on, he got president-elect in 2008. On January 20th, 2009, he took the office. And at that time, he came into a situation where one out of three black men were either in jail, in prison, on parole, or probation. This is the state of black men. Now, when it came to education, and we know who he put over the Secretary of State. I mean, he could have gotten anybody on the planet Earth, but he chose a man who had no educational background and who had led the Renaissance 2010 campaign that closed 100 black schools, and along with the black history that those schools were named after. So we no longer know who Ralph Bunch is because we don't have the Ralph Bunch Elementary School. So we not only lost educational institutions, but we lost the ones named after Negro black people in particular. And so that's what who he put over the Board of Education.
Arne Duncan?
In reading among black students and white schools in the city of Chicago was 70% in reading, and the racial gap was 80% in math. This is just how bad the school system was after changing boundaries and reconstituting and totally dismantling the educational system, on top of the fact that they never did comply with the 1980s Chicago Board of Education consent decree. And what their solution to that, they fought against it for 23 years until Chief Judge Charles Koukouras said there isn't enough white students to integrate the schools, so therefore he dismissed the case after the Board of Education fought against it for 23 years. And when they closed those schools, they forced black students to go into gang, land, territories, and violence against our Chicago students went up 500%.
Wow.
So this is the kind of situation. And then I think it was Barbara, Diane Sawyer, she did a national series called The Hidden America. And she interviewed the gang so-called bangers. And one of them said to her, I'll never forget it. He said, you think I want to be doing this?
Mm.
He said, but we have no job, no money, no love, no nothing.
Mm.
No love. I mean, no nothing. And that is what he said. And people like Reverend Jesse Jackson and other elected state representatives begged him, please, Mr. President, come to the city of Chicago and bring your resources so that you can do something about the 80% gap in math and 70% in reading and one out of three black men in prison on parole, probation, or in jail. And he never did. In the midst, we lost 80% of our wealth under Barack Obama because we were too little to succeed and the banks were too big to fail, so he bailed out the banks. But we lost 80% of our wealth as a people.
So was the bank bailout, Mama D, was the bank bailout, was that a plus or a minus in his corner? What are your thoughts?
Well, if you bailed out the bank and a people is losing 80% of their wealth, when the particular people losing 80% of their wealth had all kind of barriers to even buy those homes with the clauses in them that says you can't rent this, sell this property to a Negro American. And you had these in the country, so it took a great deal of struggle. And that was where the bulk of our wealth was, because we had black businesses, but when they decided to put the Dan Ryan Expressway smack dab in the middle of all of our Bronzeville established buildings, all of that was taken away over eminent domain. They destroyed all of those issues. You've got the Regal and Jessa. The history would astound you, because when you're in a segregated area, you had your little black belt, but you controlled your little black belt. And that Dan Ryan did for black businesses right here in Chicago what the bomb did that they dropped on Tulsa.
Wow.
And destroyed that community. It was the same impact and effect. So, and but he did this. On June 18, 2009, he was the president, and he did, the United States Senate and the United States Congress apologize for slavery and Jim Crow genocide. Genocide is defined by definition, and so is slavery, these crimes against humanity, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group is defined as genocide. Forcibly taking children from one race and giving them another race, like they did with DCFS, you could get a black child, a white family would be given a black child, but a black family could not be given a white child, not under DCFS.
Wow.
So that was giving our children to other races and causing serious bodily or mental harm, I already said that, but it's creating conditions to make it hard for you to function when you are locked into a ghetto, according to the current report, that white society was implicated in, because white society created it, white institutions maintained it, and white society condoned it. So they put up these conditions to make it hard for you to function. And so they apologize and they put it out there. I challenge everybody, look up, Google it up for yourself. June 18, 2009, they admitted how they dehumanized us, how they set up these laws of segregation that was intended to keep the status of the Negro down. That was the finding in the Brown versus Board of Education decision 88 years after enslavement. They said segregation laws were unconstitutional because they only existed to keep the status of the Negro down. It was not about black and brown. It was not about people of color. It was not about immigrants. It says in that order. I challenge you to read that too.
So Mama D, that having been done during the time of Barack Obama, that apology that came, is that a plus in his plus column in terms of being one of the greatest presidents?
I think that it would have been in the plus column if he had added an A to the DREAM Act, the Reparations DREAM Act, and instead of a rewarding parents, the children of parents who had broken into the country and we can still hardly survive a broken jail life. And when these two presidents, former President Bill Clinton and former President George Bush, was featured in that United States Senate and Congress apology, and you know what they said? The vestiges still exist today. So if he had dealt with the vestiges and listened to people like Reverend Jackson or Diane Sawyer with the hit in America and done something about violence spiking 500% among our children, that would have been a plus in his column. But he decided to not to add that D. See, DREAM Act means D, development, R, release, E, education, free to graduate school with all the treatment for the children of people who have invaded and broken into the country. That DR, that's so education, that's what they mean when they say that. And A meant alien. You are not a citizen, and the DREAM Act called you what you were. It was called alien until Congressman Bobby Rush put in a bill in Congress saying you cannot call them aliens. You must call them undocumented. That's what our Congressman Bobby Rush did for them. So, but alien is still in that DREAM Act because it hasn't been taken out. M, minor. Well, when you think of a minor, you're talking about a little child, maybe under 12 years old. But what are they saying? Under the age of 31 years old. Those were the minors. And not
the old minors.
Amnesty, right. Amnesty for any crime that is not federal. Well, it was a federal crime to even break into somebody else's country. But no crime. They're untouchable. You catch them, and you have to let them go because they are not citizens, and they're under this amnesty provision.
Well, Mama D.
The other thing, amnesty for crimes that are not federal, and exemption from student loans and student debt, which all our students are drowning in.
Absolutely. Well, Mama D, we're about to come up to a break, and then we're bringing in our guest, Robert McKay of WVON, and he's heard all you had to say about President Barack Obama, our 44th president, and I'm sure he's had opinions over the years during that presidency. I guess my question is always to anybody who criticizes an elected official's performance is it possible that the problems that we have were really something they could not have fixed? I look at a lot of things, you know, people always attack the elected officials, the mayor, the governor, the president, for a crime. But we know, and you've said this often, that the problem starts in the home. It starts in the heart. So can an elected official fix what's in the hearts of people that they got from their home?
It didn't start in the heart. It started in the kidnap of a group of people from the continent of Africa and using governmental laws to hold them in chains for 246 years, making them a lucrative property thing by law and letting them go with absolutely zero. So it wasn't about that DREAM. I said, Mr. President, I wrote him a letter. Put another A. Development, relief, and education for America. and African minors under the age of 31. An exemption from any crime is not federal. And an amnesty from any crime is not federal. An exemption from student loans and student debt. All he had to do was add another A, G-R-E-A-A-M Act, just like G-R-E-A-M. If he could take that executive order pen and do this for non-citizens, he could have taken it and did it for people who have never received any reparations for the crimes against Eddie Masters.
Well, all righty. We'll see what Robert McKay has to say about that thought. And we're going to take a quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're watching us live on Facebook or YouTube, or our Female Solution Facebook and YouTube channel, feel free to write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment with more wisdom with Mama D. And
Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation.
All right.
And spiritually speaking, men who do the will are mothers too.
All right, man, we haven't left you out. All righty. We'll be right back in just a moment. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch the Media Connection.
Well, we have here Mr. Robert McKay want you to omit the lawsuit that was brought by the United Nations from someone that you know, and also the lawsuit that was involving the firefighters, because you told me in Chicago we had to have a police of the league fighting for so police officers. Negro blacks could be on the police board. We had to have lawsuits put. Negro blacks need to be firefighters. And the list goes on and on and on. The first usher put in the theater, the first black teller downtown. Every single thing we've had to fight for. And so, help give me those two things. But tell us about you. You grow up, are you a Chicagoan? I know you're natural, Negro black. That's all. So that's your call. You're famous and infamous and powerful just being a Negro black. Because I mean, everybody is here and they said it's not. And we're still here. And we just begin fighting. So thank you so much for agreeing to be our guest, because I know you have a very busy relationship.
Oh, yesterday, thank you for inviting me yesterday, and as long as I'm scheduled to do a talk on the Choice, a book written by Samuel F. Yett with the Kim University. I'm sure you're familiar with the Kim University with Olumide, Brother Olumide, and that's at 1 o'clock, so... That will be very short here.
There's an echo. Is that coming from the phone?
That's not me. There's nothing on here.
Naima, is that coming from the...
Let me
hear your book.
So my phone is on. So it's not coming from
yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, I don't have any mics open on the switchboard, so I'm going to keep working with the sound to see if we can get rid of that while you continue talking.
Okay.
So go ahead, Robert, okay?
Okay, like Mama D introduced me and you yourself, I'm Robert McKay. I live in Chicago. In fact, I was born in Springfield, Missouri, when my dad was attending school. The Chicago Defender sent him there to study press and linotype and other issues that dealt with publishing a newspaper. So, I was only there for about 3 months, and then they returned to Chicago. So, I was born in October, and we returned to Chicago in December. So, I came back to Chicago as an infant, but born in the belly of... the beast in Babylon. But at any rate, I attended Dunbar Vocational. I attended elementary school here at Douglas. I attended, graduated from Dunbar Vocational High School. Of course, during that period when I graduated, the Vietnam War was going on. And I didn't do similar to some of the other people who were objectors who escaped to Canada or just didn't. I was going to be drafted, so I told my dad I was going to go on and get it over with. Because I worked at AMP while in high school, and there was a friend who had worked at AMP at 35th and Giles, and he was drafted. He had finished college, he was drafted. I went to Vietnam, and he was killed. We got the word back at the store that he was killed in action. And he hadn't been in Vietnam more than a few weeks. So I listened to that, and I said, well, I'm going to be drafted. I may as well go on and join and get it over with. So I was going to go into the Army. My dad suggested the Coast Guard, so which is puzzling because I looked around for a Coast Guard recruiting office and found that there was one over in Berwyn, Illinois. So I had to get CTA, get their instructions on how to get there. And I went over there and signed up and took the exam and all that stuff. It ended up in Vietnam anyway. I ended up in Vietnam in 1970 and was there for a year. And so that was my military and veterans history. But then the week I was discharged after 4 years, and I went to Malcolm X College and signed and enrolled in there the week I was discharged from the military. Because in, I think it was in May of 1971, it was, you know, I was read the Jet magazine, and they had Dr. Charles Hirsch walking the students from Crane High School over to the new Malcolm X College building. And I stated that that's where I would go because we had read the Malcolm X autobiography while in the military. And so I went there, I attended Malcolm X, received an associate's degree there, and then went to several other schools before I completed a bachelor's degree. Ended up going to attend a school in Richmond, Virginia, Virginia Commonwealth University. Didn't have enough money to stay there, so I returned to Chicago and completed more classes here at Malcolm and at Roosevelt University, and ended up graduating from Southern Illinois University out of Carbondale. I joined the Chicago Fire Department in 1978. Was there, I was on disability, and while I was on disability, I also worked at Providence Hospital as a safety director. So I was there for 13 years. And what else can I say?
Was that when the lawsuit came up,
that the firefighters fired? Actually, the lawsuit started in 1995. There was a class of the Chicago firefighters who were on a list to be employed with the Chicago Fire Department. And the city, once they realized that there were so many black applicants on that particular list, the city changed the criteria for being employed from that list. There were over 6,000 blacks on the list, and the city created a separate category which the federal government did not agree to. They created a highly qualified, qualified, and not qualified category, which discriminated and created a disparate impact on the black applicants who were on that list. And I got involved with that in 2009. The kids, they filed a lawsuit. The city, their lawyers, it appears to me after looking at this in 2009, were in concert with the city lawyers who were defending the city in their lawsuit. And the applicant's attorneys filed some paperwork late, just to make a long story short, and they submitted a motion to have this case dismissed because they did not come back in a timely fashion. So we looked at it and found that the city was still under consent decrees. There were three consent decrees that Quinn, who was a former fire commissioner who was deceased, Albrecht, and the Shackman consent decrees. Those are court orders where the city, where these orders must be complied with according to how they were written. And we completed the 86 complaints. We found 86 people who were willing to file complaints on the city of Chicago based on those, the discrimination and the disparate impact the city created. And the federal court here, because it was thrown out in the Court of Appeals here, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. And we delivered it to those complaints along with those consent decrees to Washington, D.C. in June of 2009 to the Justice Department, EEOC, the Department of Labor, and the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court was in summer session, summer break in June, when they came back in September, October, they decided to take their case. They ruled on it in February of 2010. They sent it back to the federal court here, the Seventh Circuit and said this case is still good. You must do your due diligence. So from that point on, the city, they went back, they called them back in the court and decided to correct the past, the injustices based on the city's actions. And they decided to hire or get one full class of black applicants. And there were 111 blacks on that one class in 2011, I believe it was, 2011, I believe that class went in. So, and the remainder people who were deemed to have been harmed on that list received, so when the people who received the job, they got 13 years seniority. So that meant that you must work 20 years with the fire department or police department, any civil service job in order to get a pension. So they gave them 13 years based on the number of years of discrimination determined on that. So they received that. And there were a few who did work only 7 years and they retired and received the pension. But the remaining 6,000 some odd people who didn't get the job, they gave them a compensation check or some settlement check of between $9,000 and $10,000. And my argument was that they should have received, we told them not to sign any agreement or discharge from the city of this lawsuit, but many said they needed the money. So they signed a letter of agreement to receive the check between $9,000 and $10,000. So they shortchanged them greatly on that.
And you mentioned that this was done June 20th, 2009. Now that was a few days before President Barack Obama and the Senate and the Congress signed the apology for enslavement. Do you think that he could have done something enough to know about it? This is a Supreme Court case. It's involving his fellow Chicagoans in particular. So how do you think that that impacts, or do you think that that impacts on when you're grading him as a president?
Well, for him to be involved in it at that point in time, I'm not sure. But his knowledge of us being there in Washington in June of 2009, well, I'm sure he should have known, but grading him on the actions of his departments there, he should have received the A because they sent it back to Chicago. But the issue with that is that Chicago, there were federal monitors here, and I'm not sure to what extent the monitors had influence or observed the actions of the courts here or the city. But the city did agree to hire 111 blacks, and I'm not sure what Obama's involvement in that was at that point in time. In fact, I didn't even think about Obama while we were in D.C. I stayed there for a month going to various offices, including the four that I mentioned, those departments, and never once thought about Obama while I was there because we visited Congressman Danny Davis's office. We were in there in that Rayburn building. Bobby Rush, we sat before him. Jan Schakowsky.
Roland Barrett, was he still there for that short period of time?
No, Roland Barrett was not there. I believe Roland Barrett went in for a few months, and I think he was on after the election came up for the senator.
Right.
Well, it was under that Obama period of time, because Roland Barrett was only there a few months, but it was in that United States Senate apology time. But it was under the Justice Department had involvement, and when it came to changing the law from marriages between a man and a woman that President George Bush had on the table, President Barack Obama he had something to do with that, and I'm sure his Justice Department involvement that somebody should have pulled him so fast.
Well, I have a question for Robert McKay. Of course, you went to all the different offices and the various elected officials. Who did you get the impression actually had the power to change the situation you all were addressing?
Well, the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court ruled that the case was still good because it was thrown out here in Chicago in 95. Mm-hmm. It was roadkill when I looked at it. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ezra McCann called me in, I think it was March of 2009, asked me to come over to PUSH because they were working with a group over at PUSH. Mm-hmm. When I went over there, they were going back and forth on the procedures to file this complaint in Washington. When we gathered all of the information and the complainants, and they completed the process, the Supreme Court said that, well, they only ruled that the case was still good, so that meant that the appeals court had to go back and take action on it. And with the city's lawyers, the city has a sweatshop of lawyers. There's 33 North LaSalle. Across the street from City Hall, the lawyers and one side across the street from the lawyers' building, there's an arbitrators' building, and there's that high-rise building across the street from there, full of arbitrators. And you know, the city, there's so much going on within the government and the city of Chicago, notwithstanding with those in the federal government. It's very complex when you want to get some justice, including in the city of Chicago. So the federal court, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, went along with an agreement which the Supreme Court should have been involved with, or the monitor from Washington, D.C. should have been on top of that to ensure that there was full justice, complete justice, given to the black applicants on that list, and it was not done. Because when the people signed off to accept a measly check of between $9,000 and $12,000, that shortchanged them. I calculated, and the people I was associated with at that time calculated that each of those people who did not get the job for 13-year seniority, they should have received a compensation equal to 13-year seniority, which should have been a check in excess of
So what was the final outcome of that? Has justice ever been served? Where does it stand now?
Well, once they signed that letter to settle from the city, that was a done deal.
Mm.
And so the people who received the job with 13-year seniority, and I'm sure that most of them are retired, not all, after that 13-year, 7-year stint. Some stayed longer, I'm sure.
Wow.
But that was it. Once they signed that letter, it was over.
That was it.
Right.
The city is under, the city has a contract with the fire department where it stipulates, and many people refer to it as Appendix G. That's where this equal employment opportunity clause is located, in Appendix G. When we've had 10 contracts since the first was signed in 1981 after the 1985 fighter strike. The first equal employment opportunity clause is in Appendix C in the very first contract. And after that, it remains in Appendix G. And it stipulates that there must be 30% blacks, 15% Latino, and the remainder. Those are the number, those percentages that must be hired on that fire department, which the city has never complied with. Today, they're less than 7%, and perhaps down as low as 4 to 5% blacks on the Chicago fire department. And the numbers are dwindling back to during Richard J. Daley's tenure.
And is there anything you think that case can be revisit it, or is there a statute of limitations on it, or what?
Well, once a court order is given, that court order has to be complied with, and the city is non-compliant. But with the Shacklin consent decree, and I believe it's done with the other two consent decrees that we carried to Washington and part of their complaint, the Quinn and Albrecht decrees. Now, Richard M. Daley attempted to get the city taken off the Shacklin consent decree before he left office, and the federal government told him he was not compliant. Mm-hmm. They refused to take him off. But 2 years later, after Rahm Emanuel was in office, he got Shacklin, Michael Shacklin, the guy who filed the lawsuit in 1973, or was settled in 1973, to agree that the city was compliant with the Shacklin consent decree, and they removed the city from the Shacklin. They were no longer required to comply with the Shacklin because they said the city was compliant with it.
Well, Mama, then you've got a caller on the line. I know we've got a few more minutes before the break. You want to take a caller real quick, okay?
Right. You want to take a call, and we have time to talk about that Supreme Court case in which was the crimes against the humanity that you know about.
Okay. Area code 773-957. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give our guest and host your question.
This is Rashida Ali calling from Chicago. I want to give greetings to Ms. McKay. I lost his number, so I lost communications, but I would like to know if it's okay that I give him my number. You give him my number, Naima?
Yes, we can do that.
And I want to commend the brother on all the good works that he's done and is doing.
Thank you.
And before you leave, how would you break the president?
The current president?
No, Barack Obama. We're only ranking him on a scale of 1 to 10.
10 the highest and 1 the lowest? Is that how it is?
10 is the highest.
Okay.
1 is the lowest.
Well, I'm reading from the black community perspective as a 2.
Wow. That's kind of low. Wow.
When you consider that he made for three special interest groups, non-citizens, homosexuals, and appointing the first Latino woman to the Supreme Court, and they told us he was president for all the people, but all the people are not homosexuals, Latinos, or non-citizens, and yet he went out of his way to make these historic laws in their favor. Before you go, would you tell us about Sunday, your time and place, before we talk the other time?
Okay, Sunday I'm on WVON from 4 to 5 p.m. The title of my program is Focus, and I always use the byline of focusing on complete and ultimate strategies, connecting the past to the present for our future. And my initial purpose or reason for going on the radio was to advocate the bringing the vocational programs back into the public school system because they were so successful while they were there. But Richard M. Daley, with his minions, came in and destroyed that. They removed and that was at the behest of the unions, AFL-CIO. He removed the trades from all of the public schools here in Chicago. I believe there's one on the north side. I can't think of the name of it now. But generally speaking, the vocational programs have been removed. And the unions have developed training centers, and they're exclusive in who they allow in those training centers. And, of course, next to Dunbar Vocational High School, where I'm an alumni, there's a the IBEW union, that's the electrical union, took over the Drake School, the vacated Drake School, once they shut that down, and they have their training school there. And there's a carpenter's training program over on 22nd Street near Union, next to the Dan Ryan Expressway.
Thank you. in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Making out all of the words. What did you just say that brought on a little chuckle?
You said tell us a little bit about your background, if you are Negro, Black, or people of color, or brown, or a immigrant, or a refugee.
Yeah. Now that is rather comical. I can see why they chuckle. In fact, the question makes me chuckle a little as well. But anytime, Mama D, when you invite me to your show, I'm more than happy to join. So thank you very much. And Naima, thank you as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
I got to get together with you guys. I like the stream, y'all. I really like the screen, you know, the picture, seeing each other while we talk. So I have to get together with you guys so I can figure that out and come more into the modern world.
We'll
We'll get you there. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, I thank you very much again. Well, you know, I like the American African measure of identification as
American,
an individual.
American African. Is that
yeah, you just turned it around. You put one word in front of that, you know, African American, but American African. I like, you know, I heard Umar Johnson use that also in some of his speeches, and I've heard Mama D use it. And I know she's been struggling with the identity question, which is a good question. And you see that in many of the fights and struggles across the nation when people have been oppressed and pushed back and pushed down. For instance, a Milkaka brawl in Guinea-Bissau was killed by, they say, some disgruntled postal worker killed him, but we believe the Belgians killed Milkaka Cabral. But he brought his people to a national state of identity. So anyone who's working on that, I appreciate them for working on it, and I respect them very much. But at this point, to answer your question, Mama D, I'm going to go with the American African. And I've used it some on the Love Power show, but I think sometimes, not all the time, you know, sometimes you can hit a target right away, but sometimes you have to gradually work up to it. And so I at this point, unless we gain more momentum, I'm just going to go in gradually using it sometime and perhaps from time to time having a discussion about it, because it is a worthy discussion, and I grant you that. But what I've heard so far, some difficulty hearing, but I've been able to make out what I've heard, therefore I can join the show and participate to some extent. But what I've heard so far from the brother McKay there, Mama D, he did call. I checked my messages. I was telling you before about that, having given me a call again. I mentioned it to you. I've not heard back from the brother, but he was talking about government intervention and all of the stuff they've done to the American African. I totally agree with that assessment. Anytime you have these atrocities, you can expect that the government has something to do with it. Another point, Dubois, E.B. Dubois, he pointed out, and this is true today, that the problem in America is the problem of the color line. What did he mean? What was he talking about? He was talking about, in my interpretation, that we as a people are still at war with this American government, primarily white people, because we've seen a number of murders and killing young American African men. They flashed it on a screen a moment ago. So many of the screen was full, and even killing some women, the police, or an extension of the government. And we see this kind of murdering taking place in 2022. Yeah, so we're at war, and we're at war with the government primarily made up by white people. And they're going back to, I'll tell you what, I'll go further than 1619. I'll go back to 1555. Since 1555, we've been at war, and we've been at war since the first African struck back at the interlopers. I call them interlopers. And we've been at war ever since that has taken place.
Being at war is a conflict between two combatants. But what happened to us, kidnapped from a continent, enslaved, and held as a movable property thing, handed down to slave owners' descendants to guarantee generational wealth for them for 246 years. These were crimes against humanity. These were not, we're at war, you've got weapons and I've got weapons. This was a crime against humanity. Our topic today was ranking President Barack Obama on a scale of 1 to 10, from the worst to the greatest president. However, getting back to, we must determine what to call ourselves, coming in chains by force from a continent is different from coming to a country by choice. So whether you were Garvey, who done some wonderful things for people that came in chains, but he was a Jamaican. He came from Jamaica, a country over here, into America by choice. And I love the idea of having his sentence commuted. But I think that it should add John Brown and Nat Turner, who were fighting, who were hanged as traitors, fighting to have freedom in our country while we're still fighting for the freedom of other people all over the world. They're still doing that today. But I wanted to say NAA, Indigenous Native American African. America is a country. Africa is a continent. People living on the continent do not claim the continent. They claim a country. They say, I'm from Ghana. I'm from Kenya. I'm from Nigeria. On your passport is a country, USA America. It is not a continent saying Africa. I watched the Olympics. All those people from all over the world came waving flags from countries. Nobody claimed waving red, black, and green, claiming a continent. And so it's necessary, if you're in the country before it becomes a country, and 1619 came before 1776, that makes you indigenous. It has nothing to do with the amount of Indian blood in your veins. So so we do need to claim this country. We are more Americans than anybody in America because the law of chattel slaves didn't allow us to be anything else. And that apology for slavery and the vestiges and Jim Crow genocide laws that still exist today, that's all laid out there. And yet we are out here opening ourselves up to other miseducation, talking about Juneteenth, June 19th ended slavery when it did not. So a national holiday based on a blatant universal lie is just absolutely ridiculous.
I'd like to throw a thought out there, perhaps to Wallace Redd and yourself, to consider, because we have been here for several generations, even longer than many of the recent immigrants. We know that there were policies put in place that were designed to maintain the economic structure of slavery. We know that the prison system was meant to continue a way to get free labor, and black people were largely targeted, as well as poor whites and other ethnic groups who didn't have the economic power to fight back were targeted for that system of extension of slavery. But every human being has the opportunity and the ability to make choices and to choose to cooperate with families, neighbors, communities in order to change their condition. So have we been here long enough to let go of the experience of slavery as something that is a major factor in our success, when in fact we do have the power to change the condition in our hands based on the amount of money that we circulate, the amount of education mm-hmm. that we have, the amount of skills that we have? We have the ability to change the condition. We're just choosing not to because of whatever reason. But have we been here long enough to stop using the slave experience as a reason why we're choosing to self-destruct or choosing self-destructive behavior? And if we remove that as an experience,
then what becomes our responsibility? To make the choices that would change our condition.
Before he answers that,
okay.
I'd like to address that. First of all, we're still getting the knee on the neck. We still have no Army, no Air Force, no Navy, no Marines, no federal, state, city police, and other militia. We are still under the historic conditions that we have not been fixed for. If you tear up my car, I might not want to ride around in a raggedy car, and I'll go and have it fixed. But I do expect you to reimburse me for the damage that you caused. So a people without a history is like a tree without roots. We are not in a position to allow all them to say, oh, we're making these decisions because George Floyd was looked upon as a threat, not a risk. When Dylan slaughtered 9 people in a church, when the police officer walked up to him with his gun in his hand, he hosted it. And then they took him for burgers. But when they came up on George Floyd, a person accused of passing a bad check, which was a civic offense, which was should have been handled by the FBI, not forgery by a police officer. But he came up to him with a gun at his head. Now, we have been in denial about the harm and let's just get away. Let this go. But the Jews say, never forgive and never forget, and they are getting billions of dollars out of country and everything else for 4 years of what happened to them, the terror and torture that they experienced. We've had 400 years, and it has never stopped, and it never will stop unless we rectify the governmental harm. This is called crimes against humanity, and we're calling it racism, and we're saying black and brown and all this other stuff. None of them went through what the United Nations calls the greatest Holocaust in the history of humankind. So Wallace, would you address her question and mine, and then
we have a caller at 314-677.
Could he answer the question first?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, Naima, that your question is very valid, and I've heard you raise that question on a number of occasions. It's all about evolving, and I think to a great extent, Naima, that we have been here long enough and that we have not chosen to rectify the situation ourselves. And there are a number of reasons for that, but I do think after a while, when you talk about the history and situation constantly, it starts to sound like crying and whining and begging. I think there needs to be more discussion about solutions. A lot of people have vast knowledge, and I think, and since black people, this is theoretical, have been so depraved, if you notice, they love to talk, especially when they have knowledge, because many of them love to hear themselves talk, and it could be an excuse not to get up and get out there, see solutions happen. See, this is competition. And you're mad at people because they are competing. They come from other countries and compete. And yes, we've been really messed up as a people. And therefore, that brings in the question of leadership. So I don't think we can say, Naima, totally that we're ready for this, because we've really been, I agree with Mama D to a great extent, that we've really been messed up than any, more messed up than any other people on the globe. But yet, we've noticed that other people have overcome. Other people have stood up and fought. And people come here, she was talking about the Nigerians, the Kenyans, I don't remember the exact word, the Ethiopians, and et cetera, coming here to compete and make money and do better. And yes, theoretically, the government is behind a lot of this stuff, allowing Mexicans to get ahead of the American African and the government, yes. And so, therefore, we must compete. And that's why leadership, Naima, is so important, because those of us who look at this situation and we see something is wrong with it, I don't think by the same token, Naima, that we can sit back and say, well, all I have to do is discuss history and say, why haven't we done this and why haven't we done that? So therefore, that's why the question of leadership, if you're one of those who analyze it, raising questions in leadership, do something, pass out some flyers, discuss, call some people together, and et cetera. You know, I'm looking at the situation in Ukraine, and I see these people are gearing up. I just saw some people standing in front of a big tank, and then he pushed the tank. Well, of course, he couldn't move it, and then he just stood in front. He kneeled in front of the tank. These are Ukrainians. You know, I see grandmother. I saw a little boy, 12 years old, with a rifle. You know, and so there, and the leader is saying, "I'm," you know, the United States is saying, "Let us lift you out of there. Let us take you to safety." And the president, Zelensky, said to them, guess what he said to them? "I need weapons. I don't need a ride. I need artillery. I don't need a ride. Don't come giving me a ride. Send me weapons. I will be here, and I will fight until the bitter end." And so
they are in a war. Like Mama D was saying, you use the word war, but we're in a situation where other people have inflicted violence, and we were not in a state of combat. We were actually prisoners of war transported somewhere else. So now not really our condition. We have individuals who have inflicted violence, but it's still not war. We can't even say, well, in my opinion,
well,
how can we say we're at war with white people when all white people are not doing anything? All white people are not hostile. All white people are not violent. All white people are not discriminatory, prejudiced, racist, and cruel.
I totally agree with you. Let me just say this.
And is the enemy really a person or a race? Or is it
There are some. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you that not all white people are the enemy. I agree with you. You remember I said the government, and it's comprised of, I use the word mostly, see? But no, I agree with you on that part. But I disagree with you and Mama D in saying what war is. War is a broad term. It is opposing forces in battle. Whether it's physical, whether it's guns, weapons, or whether it's words. And these words used, and of course, we were being attacked, and many black people fought back with weapons and with guns. You had Nat Turner out there and many others, and you're telling me that wasn't war, that was war, and we are still at war in terms of opposing forces. So I'm going to disagree with you and Mama D on that point. So I hear what you're saying. It appears to be a social thing. And that social thing, there's some subtle things taking place. These are opposing forces doing everything they can to, not all white people and not all folks in the government. But you all just talked about the government. And, yes, stuff is coming from the government. So opposing forces, if it's not war, it is a form of war because of you still hear people quoting history and what happened to us and et cetera, and what they've done to us and are still doing to us and all that. Those are opposing forces. That's why I use the term war, opposing forces. That was my interpretation of what E.B. Du Bois said when he said the problem of the color line.
Yeah,
so that's a racial Naima and Mama D, that was my interpretation of what he said using my imagination and my experience and what I've observed in this country. Hey, I thank you all very much. Hey, don't forget about me, Naima.
Well, we're going to take one call.
We'll take a call. Maybe somebody wants to speak to you.
Will you give us your information about your program tomorrow?
Oh, yes. The Love Power Show. Sunday at 10 o'clock, AM 1600. You can also pick it up on AM 730, West Memphis, Arkansas, Sports Channel. A special program tomorrow, Mama D and Naima. There's an interview, a special program, an interview interviewing a man who used to be known as Sweet Willie Wine, Bakura Abdul Yahweh, and they have a book that they are discussing. Omar Baruti will be interviewing Sweet Willie Wine, Lance Watson, formerly known as now Sakura Abdul Yahweh. Oh, no, right. Call in numbers. Call in at 901-452-3094. Thank you.
Okay. Before you go, can you rank the president?
One to ten, President Obama. Highest to ten, lowest to one.
Well, you know, when you do something like that, that's a very general question. And so I was thinking about that. Well,
you've been tipped
on. I would give him an A, but if you brought me a paper to grade him on this paper, I would drop it down to a B. And I would agree with McKay that as far as African Americans are concerned, didn't do very much for that group of people. Then he brought the gays in, the LGBT people and all that. So I'll give the guy, tell you what, I'll give the guy a C+. And the reason for that is, wait a minute.
Halfway, that's like a five.
I tell you what, let's make it a 3.5.
A 3. Oh, you said a 3.5. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
A 3.5. And look, you know, McConnell said, I'm going to do everything I can to block this guy. Limbaugh said, I hope he fails. And we brought Merrick Garland up. McConnell said, I'm not going to allow the guy to bring up his person for the Supreme Court. That's just three of the things that. That's just three of the things that he faced as a president. And see, therein lies again. It's competition. It's racial hatred all the way, and it's competition. You got to get to the solution and stop crying and whining about what someone did to you, and get out there and fight and compete and get the job done.
Next step, because they've already condemned the police killing of black men and boys, disproportionate arrests, and massive school closing, and set up for decades, 2015 to 2024, 8 years have passed. None of us have stepped up and addressed the crimes against our humanity. We over break, child.
Yeah, well, let's take this call real quick before we take a break, and we might bring him back over the break. But area code 314-677, you've been waiting a while. Give us your question or comment before we take a break.
Hello, Naima. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you? Pianki.
Pianki is doing fine. Excellent.
Wonderful.
I heard somebody mention W.D. Du Bois. He was a communist. Professed communist. In a capitalist society, he was bad.
President Barack Obama for one to ten. While we got
I'm ranking, I rank Obama behind Jimmy Carter, and behind Donald Trump. He was there for 4 years. When you look at the economics.
Well, you asked me a question you want to answer.
Oh, yes, I do. And we'll come back.
What you're going to have to do is call yourself.
Yeah, well, hold that thought.
We'll
get a numeric rank based on that.
If we don't have our guests, we would like for you to step in and be our guest for the next half hour, if that's okay with you. If Chairman
You saying me?
Yeah, we'll be right back. We want to get that ranking in a numerical order, so we can translate that to a 1 to 10.
Here, would you agree to be our guest for the last half hour?
I'll be a guest for anybody. And for you, which you ain't going to do, you ain't going to pay, so that'd be all right, too.
We want you to be the guest.
We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll certainly add you to this conversation. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Am I still on, Mama D? You want me to go?
Well, you stay and continue.
I can't hear. So what now?
Friend has not shown up. Can you stay? And between you and Brother Pianke.
Well,
can I say something?
Let me ask you this, Mama D.
I invited him to be the guest. In case German Fred didn't show up.
You know what I'd like to find out, though, Mama D, because so far all of your guests have ranked the president very low. I mean,
how are you ranking?
Well, in terms of his performance, from the greatest to the worst president. Now, I went based on the challenges that he faced and a lot of the things that he did get done that didn't get a lot of publicity, because I did keep up with, you know, bills that got passed and
health care and a lot of things that did actually transpire, despite his opposition, I would rank him as a 9. And the only thing that doesn't give him a 10 in my book is I don't like the situation with Gaddafi. I understand that was international policy, but any invasion and war and decision to take away someone else's leadership, I don't agree with, because you don't really know the good that that leader is doing. And a lot of what Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was doing was for the purpose of strengthening the independence of the African economy, which I think is probably what caused him to be a target by those who are supporting the American capitalist system and the exploitation of African nations. So I didn't agree with that, even though I know it was something in motion before he even got in office, because it was set up by the Clintons. I know that. But that being the case,
that's exactly why I wanted to rate him, because there are people that say he was the best president. It's not a personal thing when you examine his policies, because, yes, he did the affordable care. But
yeah, that was huge.
But the people who got the special history made also got the benefit of affordable health care and all of the other things that he did for the country at large. I'm talking about, there can be no excuse when you select 3 United States Supreme Court justices, considering all of the Supreme Court laws that were raised against us as a people. When they had the unveiling of the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., Chief Justice Roberts came up and said, "We blew it when we did the Dred Scott decision that ruled that blacks had no rights, whether they were emancipated or not." And he talked about that Dred Scott decision, and he talked about the Brown versus Board of Education decision that ruled it only existed to keep the status of the Negro down. So what we're doing these days with this people of color and assuming that everybody went through what we went through, and they did not. We weren't at war, and he could have made history. He had an opportunity. Why appoint another white man to the court? You've got 9 people slaughtered in a church. And what did he do? He sang a song. But you have 4 Asians killed. The whole program has gone off the radar screen. Nobody talks about the shooter that they caught, that he said why he did the shooting. He said he got tired of being a sex slave to these Asian women who were providing these prostitution services for him. Now, that was, it's people got killed, but what happened, what governmental policy happened as a result of that?
Well, that's one of the things, Amadi, one of the things that we blame the president for.
I thought you guys wanted me to rank the president.
I need the Congress to bring me laws. The president doesn't make laws. He signs things into law.
He
can't.
That's right.
He can do executive orders, but he's not a legislator.
No, he does.
And we blame him for a lot of things that are the responsibility of the legislation.
He picked up on the
president don't make laws.
He has to be the president. And he has to name or be the president for all of the people. He can't just be president for black people. But I tell you, and I totally agree with you, Naima, but now I don't think where black, so-called black people are concerned, he would get a 9. 2 things, and you, I agree with you about the Gaddafi thing, and that was already in motion with Clinton. But this whole idea of men marrying men, women marrying women, with Biden came out there and announced, you see, and that still came so-called black people. And I just don't think that he did enough. I think he had, you're right, he faced opposition, but there was not enough, what do you call it, hardcore strength and pushing forward for so-called black people. So I think he doesn't deserve the lowest rate in the world because of what he faced. I tried to point that out. But in 9, I'm not sure about that now, but I do agree with you for the most part, and I'm leaning in your direction. One point, I'm going to get off the phone, that I'm the one who mentioned The Color Line by Du Bois. And to get up and call in and go around beating up on, you know, black people, beating up on other black people, and I'm not saying they can get away with and just say anything and not be, but this is part and parcel of the problem that we face as a people, black people calling in, going around, beating up on black leaders and not giving them their, as they say around here, their props. You heard that term, their props. You know, that means their proper respect, their proper perspective for the work that they have done in the community and continuing to do. We tend not to find something in common. We tend not to try to find something that we can work on and work with. You know, some of these guys, I said to them, hey, man, let's work on this. But no, basically, many of these people, because if you call in and say, well, he was a communist, that's not what I said. I wasn't discussing communism. I was discussing a race. If you use your imagination and interpretation, I was discussing the racial problem, which he pointed out, and I said that you see that stuff today. And I just think the people who are doing the best job, you can touch black people
as
competition.
I'm the one who made the statement.
Look, I'm not trying to fight with you, man. I'm just responding to what you said. You seem like you want to fight with me. I wasn't fighting with you,
but you curse me out every chance you get. You want
me
to read your
letter? You out today?
Hold
don't
that
lie
for a moment.
Don't lie, man. Don't sit up there and lie, man.
Welcome to Wisdom with Mama D.
I was going to be her host. I was going to be a host and rank Obama if y'all don't want that no more.
But I am on your show. The love power, how do you manage it? Hey, hold it.
Okay.
You don't allow this back and forth. So anyway, I wanted to raise the issue. Let me take the whole
privilege
here.
Don't leave. I'll open your mics up again.
This whole privilege here and raise this issue. I did ask Yake to serve as the guest. You did complete your full... you never give anybody over 5 minutes on your program, but you did complete your full 25 minutes, and so I appreciate you staying over, but I wanted to throw that in. Anyhow, getting back to, we are not warring against individuals. Slavery was a system of governmental laws, and they were crimes against humanity. President Barack Obama had the executive order power to make a law. That is what an executive order is in certain cases. And this is what he did for the non-citizens. He implemented a law of governmental labor. And what I'm saying is when you give him 96% of your vote the first time, and giving him the power to be over the Senate and over the Congress, there was no excuse for him to appoint 3 Supreme Court justices. Very few presidents in life get to appoint that many Supreme Court justices. He did. He used an executive order pen to go against those 2 Bible books that he freely took an oath of office on. It said, he didn't swear on the Quran. He didn't swear on a Buddhist Bible. He swore on two Bibles that had the commandment that clearly said, honor your mother and your father. And he stopped Bush's Justice Department bill that was on the table at the time. Marriage is between a mother and a woman and a man. He ordered the Justice Department to stop that. He had been for civil unions where the same sex would get all the rights and privileges of everybody else, but he changed that and made it same sex. I'm just saying this is a Bible book that I didn't write, he didn't write, no one on this panel wrote, but it clearly says, you get to be fruitful and multiply, you have to have a mother and a father. And that's true. I'm not against what anybody wants to call themselves. But at the end of the day, they came from a union of male and female, whatever they're calling themselves. So I think he does have the power of law when he does an executive order, as he did. It's just like saying, I'm going to give the immigrants $450,000 in a settlement, not because they have earned it, but because you didn't have a family jail to put us in when we broke into your country. You can't go to another country without a passport, but you have broke in, and now you're saying we were separated from our children. If you commit a crime, they will take adults to one place and they will take children to another place. We in America don't have family judges, but you be willing to give them $450,000 per child, $1 million for family, saying they were separated when we were by governmental laws separated from being a human being, held in physical chains, released after 246 years of being a thing called chattel that you handed down to your descendants to guarantee generational wealth for them. You handed them down like you would hand down a house or you would hand out a car or any other valuable. So for us to say we ought to do it ourselves, we have arrived, no we haven't, and that is why the United Nations, not me, not my personal opinion, they designated, it came to Chicago State University and took testimony, and they designated a decade, 2015 to 2024, to deal specifically with the police killings of black men and boys. We can call it black and brown and people of color killings, but the fact of the matter is, if we open our eyes, these crimes are against black men and boys. Massive school closing, they didn't close the schools belonging to other races of people. They had the power and the governmental authority. They closed black schools, took away the history with them. 100 schools in that Renaissance 2010 plan right here in Chicago. And the disproportionate arrest, like you mentioned, Naima, stemming back from the 13th Amendment, it said that there should be neither slavery nor slavery or accept or involuntary servitude. We cannot force you to volunteer except when you are convicted of a crime. And the first crime was not having a job.
That's true. Vagrancy laws.
You
we do have a comment,
yes,
Mama D.
I'll be finishing up. You came from 246 years.
We got about 4 minutes left in the show.
Came up from 246 years of 100% employment. You were let go. No home, no land, no money, no family, no education. no transportation, not even a pair of boots to pull yourself up by bootstraps. And slavery in that 13th Amendment was never really abolished. It went from individual ownership of slaves to institutional ownership of slaves through incarceration and make it a crime for you not to even have a job. So we're not talking about fighting against people. We're talking about the crimes against our humanity should be named that and labeled that and look at us, considering that we are still here after all the terror and torture that we have experienced for hundreds of years. We are powerful beyond measure, considering we built places like Tulsa, not because somebody gave us a handout. We are owed a repair because we are, the vestiges still exist today.
Well, let me share the comment on Facebook for those who are listening and don't see
it. Yes, okay.
Because Viata, she also questioned a 9. She said she gives President Obama a C-, so she also is giving him not the highest rank. She said he's probably responsible for ordering more drone deaths overseas than any other president. Just like other presidents, he had no conscience about war and killing and was a true puppet for the military-industrial complex. So that's her ranking. And
please,
he was terrible.
Program tomorrow.
Yeah, so, and Viata, if you want to call in on the switchboard, press 1 so you can tell us about your show, Soul Purpose Healing, tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. And, of course, Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. She'll be on, and she'll be, today was her Global Teen Talent Competition, and we'll be hearing the winners of that on her Monday Morning Mindfulness show, so tune in for that. And of
Can I give my show, Naima? I'll be
we'll
on.
Go right ahead. We want to hear about your show.
I thought you did that earlier.
Now, this Bianchi.
Bianchi's
show, and there in St. Louis, give us your show so we can tune in and argue.
Yeah, 4 o'clock, I'll be on Black by Color Only. And come on there and try that. I'll be on Black by Color Only at 4 o'clock. And don't come on our show trying to talk over people. We're going to run you off. Anyway, Naomi, right. Call me whenever you want. Call me if you want me to be a host, and I'll go against persons point by point, not walk through history. Talk to you later. Thank you.
All right. Black by Color Only.
Thank you so much for sharing today and ranking our president. And hopefully we'll just give ourselves some props.
Yes. So Viata's on for a second. So Viata's on for a moment to give us a word on tomorrow's show. Go right ahead, Viata.
Good day, ladies. This has been an awesome show. Thank you, Mama D and Naima, for leading this really invigorating conversation. Tomorrow I have a guest, Pastor Nick from Texas, will be my guest. He worked closely with A.A. Allen. Some of you, either of you may remember who Pastor Reverend A.A. Allen was, very popular minister in the back in the day, healing, doing a lot of healing work. Well, Pastor Nix will be my guest tomorrow to talk. We're going to talk about race and religion in 2022 because his experience with Reverend A.A. Allen is relevant. And Mama A.Z. always talks about A.A. Allen and speaking to her these days. So our conversation will be about the relevance of race and religion in 2022, and he's going to share his experience with Reverend A.A. Allen back in the day. So thank you, ladies, for an awesome show.
All right. Thank you so much.
And hopefully he will also touch on the fact of healing. By his stripes you are healed, and now we couldn't touch for a whole year. We were told to stay in.
That's a good point. That's exactly. We're going to cover that and a whole lot more. Thank you.
All
All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you, everybody. Naima, as I told you, bottle that energy 7 days a week. I don't know how you do it. But I'm glad that you do. So thank all of you who called in and commented or just listened in. Certainly.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.